Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we got Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Covers the San Francisco 49ers and obviously was in New Orleans on Sunday. And we'll get some updates on what's going on with Brock Purdy and some other injuries involving the 49er players. And we'll start looking ahead to Arizona.
Yeah. You going out there Sunday for the home opener?
We'll see.
I got to choose. Between the Valkyries tomorrow, they got hammered. Sunday, great first quarter, got hammered. Or Sunday. It's not even like football on the TV.
When don't they have a game before? When's the Valkyries' next game? Is it
Wednesday.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Okay. If they lose, are they eliminated?
Done.
So you might not have to make that choice on Sunday.
No, I couldn't do both in the week, so I was going to.
Oh, you mean game one. Game one. I got you.
Because I've been around a lot of people, and I think that I got something sinal. I can't say sinal. Something with my sinus going on. Spinal.
You're not feeling?
No, it's just, yeah.
All right.
When blood comes out your nose, there's a concern if you don't do the white horse.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Let's go to, let's get us started here with Kells in Carolina. Hey, Kells, how you doing, man?
What's going on, fellas? Happy September 16th. Sorry about your nose, goo.
It's all good. I'll be all right. What's up, Kells?
All right. So you were asking about what's my biggest surprise of the season or what's our biggest surprise. I think Kyle letting go of his ego is the biggest thing I've noticed this year. I feel like he's listening more. Whoever he's listening to is up for debate, but he's definitely been doing some woo-sign over the offseason, starting with bringing Saleh back. He's getting his contracts done early, cutting Moody, because that was a big stress in his life, I'm sure. Then having the balanced attack after running CMC into the ground the week prior. Previously, he would have said, forget it, we're just going to keep pumping it to CMC, especially with a backup quarterback in the game. And then I just think he wants to be less stressed this year and be less stubborn, because I think he sees the window closing for certain players on this team. Not that the 49ers window is closing, because we got a good young crop coming up, and he wants to get it done by any means necessary this year with the record, with the schedule that we have, and knowing the Super Bowl is at home, and knowing he doesn't know what his future is looking like. And as far as the game coming up, I don't think we'll have any problem this year, because I don't think we had a problem last year except for the defense. And the defense is a lot younger and faster than we were last year. There was a lot of miscommunication in the secondary last year, which we shouldn't have those problems with Saleh in the game or Saleh coaching. And as far as Mac Jones, we got to pump our brakes on that whole situation.
I'm with you.
Unless he goes out there and puts up 40 points. Remember when Kaepernick took over for Alex Smith? it was obvious how dynamic he was, how much of a difference it was. Unless Mac Jones comes out there and puts up 40 and is just like running over people or something like that, I don't think Brock has anything to worry about. But I do think he feels some of the pressure to get in there and play this weekend because he knows Max, Kyle's guy, and he doesn't want any more talk. But that's all I got to say.
Appreciate it, Kels.
Yep.
Maybe one of the reasons that he's not as uptight or he's feels a little more calm is because they don't have the expectations this year that they've had in the last 3 years, the 49ers, and there's no other way to cut it. They're not. They were considered a Super Bowl favorite, and they're not quite as high on the expectation list this year, and maybe that's giving Kyle Shanahan a little, a little peace of mind.
Well, Snotty, don't forget, they were picked over the Rams by Vegas to win the NFC West, and I think they had, the seventh or eighth best odds to win the Super Bowl. So I know here we're close to it. You might not think they were close, but it looks like from afar, a lot of people still had expectations of the Niner team, and now you kind of back that up with, again, it's 8 quarters, 2 games. You're 2-0, and you got a bunch of reinforcements coming back at different junctures.
888-957-9570 is the number. Best part of the 2-0 start, if you're a 49er fan, what is it? Coming up in 5 minutes, too, we've got Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Matt, he's going to join us. Let's go to Melvin in San Francisco. Hey, Melvin. How's it going, man?
Hey, what's going on, people? How y'all doing today?
Hey.
Doing well.
Man, I'm glad all is well, man. I appreciate the conversation. I love 95.7 The Game, always have. I will say this one quick thing. Y'all remember when football was in the street, in the playground, in the parking lot, at the park, when we threw the ball, when it didn't really matter who threw the touchdown or who ran the ball. You were surprised when the big boy got his touchdown or he got his touchdown throw or catch or whatnot. When the game was fun, I feel and I understand us conversing about, the back and forth of what's going on inside of the organization. But do we really know? No, we don't, unless we're sitting inside of the boardroom meetings. We may read this and listen to that. But yet, I'll say this, man, a W is a W. When we get to the playoffs, all we are worried about is how many W's we have when we get there. That's what's going to put us in the playoffs. When we get past the playoffs and into the Super Bowl, it's the W's that make us the winners of the NFC Championship on into the Super Bowl. Now, you got play callers that may make a wrong call here and there, but yet still, man, I'm happy as a Niner fan all my life with the W. Just keep getting them W's. I wouldn't care if Williams threw the touchdown or if your guy Pearsall made a run, for 50 yards out of the backfield, bro. It's just about the dubs for me, man. Y'all take care. Love you. Have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Melvin. We're talking about the best part of this 2-0 start. The one thing I think that the 49ers should feel good about, and I'm not trolling here at all, but you got rid of Jake Moody, and he didn't cost you a game. And now you have a guy who was 2-for-2, and maybe you solved your field goal issues without having to take one in the loss column. I actually think that's a silver lining, that it didn't take a loss for you to move on from Jake Moody.
Yeah, and I'll say this about that call and the caller previously. Steiny, I did not see any way in hell that McCaffrey could touch the ball 19 times and you can go on the road with what you had at your disposal going into this game and what you didn't have at your disposal. And for them to put up 26 points and only 19 touches, the caller mentioned, did somebody get in Kyle's ear? And I just wonder if that were by design. But boy, do I have my popcorn ready for this Sunday. As you get further down the road and play better opponents, how many Sundays you can do that and still win and have the benefit of McCaffrey, not driving the car a lot of miles.
Yeah, I mean,
didn't see 19 touches. I just hitting.
Yeah, I
was like,
huh? I think 19's a lot.
I mean, well, what do you think 31 is?
Well, I don't think that's sustainable. I think it's got to get down to 19-ish rather than, up around 25.
So that obviously to you was by design. Because I didn't see Mac throwing it 39 times, Donnie. I don't know how many times Purdy's done that under Kyle.
Purdy threw 40 passes one time last year in the regular season.
Wow.
So Mac Jones threw 39 times on Sunday, which was more than all but one game last year of Brock Purdy. What does that mean? I have no idea. What do 49er fans think that means? Like, I don't know how to explain that.
Well, I take it as, you tell me what you think, confidence from sure. his head coach.
Sure. But I'm wondering, you know, was it just that's what Kyle was seeing during the course of a game?
Man.
That there was stuff open through the air? Did he want to use McCaffrey more, but it just didn't go kind of in that direction? I'm not sure. I just know that Mac Jones looked pretty good, and Kyle Shanahan kept giving him passing. Yeah. Down, you know, kept giving him passing plays, and he didn't make any big mistakes.
And we didn't even mention Kendrick Bourne, Stoney. I didn't know what to make of, you know, the reacquisition of Kendrick Bourne, but 3 receptions, 32 yards. Every time he caught it, you know, just felt big. But Mac was also spreading the ball around. But that throw to Jennings across the middle for the touchdown just was like, wow, okay. Maybe you're not missing your starting quarterback this Sunday. And then that rope to the, you know, corner of the end zone to McCaffrey, you know, that's a laser. That was a great throw and catch.
I'm looking at the ESPN power rankings right now, and they've got the Niners 11th.
11th. Can you tell me who's ahead of them? Or are you?
Buffalo, Philly, Green Bay,
okay.
Baltimore, Detroit, Rams, Chargers, Chiefs, Commanders, Buccaneers.
Well, how can the Chiefs? Well, I got you. They're on two. But the Rams, that's the one. They're in your division. They're 2-0 along with you. And, man, that's going to be a clash because I think the Rams are good as long as our guy remains upright, their quarterback, Stafford. But, yeah, Stoney, I just like this. I like the fact that a lot of your defense is what the Warriors were hoping for when they drafted Steph, Dre, and Clay. You know, obviously not all at the same time, but they were able to build you a dynasty. Buster, Crawford, and Belt to a degree. And we saw how that worked out. You just feel like with Stout and Siegel and all the rest of these guys, Collins and Michael Williams, you know, where are they going to be in a month or two, you know?
Matty Barrow's joining us in a couple minutes. He writes for The Athletic. Let's squeeze in Corey in Concord, and then we'll get to Matt Barrows. Hey, Corey, how are you?
Steiny Guru, what up? How's it going today?
Hey,
all right. So, yeah, for me, man, I feel like the trenches have been the biggest difference in these first 2 weeks. I mean, we've seen now 2 straight weeks where that defensive line has sealed the game for the Niners, and I think that's something they've lacked. And since D'Amico left a few years ago, it kind of felt like every week we all had questions about the defensive coordinators, and even during our Super Bowl run in 23. And it just feels like we're getting back to a place where you know, we can rely on that defense again and sort of expect them to make a play. Hey, Goo, how about those 3-0 Berkeley, California Golden Bears, man?
Let's go.
They're 2.5-point dog against Minnesota. Look, I'm going to make a prediction right now. They're going to run the table, win the ACC championship, and Berkeley, California is going to host a college football playoff game this year. Let's go.
Look at him, Stoney. Put that in the cappy. They beat Minnesota. How did Tulane do?
They won.
Did you go to the bar?
No.
Okay.
No, I watched it at home.
Yeah.
They went to, they beat Duke 34-27. Matt Barrow's joining us momentarily, and he's going to be talking about a 2-0 football team and one that hosts the Arizona Cardinals at home, their home opener at Levi Stadium on Sunday. And if they win that game, they've already will have won more games in the division than they did all of last year.
Just think about that. Wow.
So when you look at this team and where they're at least as far as comparing it to last year, it's a lot better. There's
it's
no
called
doubt
progress,
about it.
No doubt.
Yeah, exactly. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. an Odyssey Sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Let's go out to the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's welcome in Matt Barrows. Hey, Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well. I was asking some 49er fans what the best part of this 2-0 start has been, because it does feel like they've got a lot of good things going for them. What's maybe one thing that surprised you in the positive through two games right now, Matt?
Well, I mean, I think the best thing is that they've gotten two of their home game or their away games out of the way, and they came back with victories from both of them. And they don't have their full roster, nothing even close to that going right now, and they've still won these games. So I think that's huge. I mean, my point being that this team should get better as the year goes on, and the DeMarcus Robinsons, the Brandon Ayukes, the Brock Purdy's, the George Kittle's return to action, and they also, in the second half of the schedule, have an abundance of home games. So everything's setting up for the second half of the season to be better than the first half, and to start 2-0 puts you in a really good spot. And the other part is that winning these kind of gritty, close games is something they absolutely did not do last season. They've had problems with that off and on in the past, and you're seeing this defense, the defensive line in particular, really rise to the occasion at the end of games. So I think that's a really good sign. It's a good sign that Mikel Williams is part of that group, the group of closers that Robert Saleh and Chris Kocurek have been sending in at the end of games. I think that bodes well for the future.
Matt, always a pleasure, and I'm known to say some outlandish stuff, so I was saving this for you, but I had the thought, and I'm going to be honest. I know we're only two weeks through the season, and I feel like this acquisition of Mac Jones, and I told Steiny and the listeners this is how I felt, but this could be one of the quietest, greatest moves of the offseason, because Brock could be back Sunday. He could miss 4 to 5 weeks. I don't know, but for him to throw the ball 39 times, did that surprise you, Matt, as you were in New Orleans watching this game?
Yeah, it absolutely surprised me. I mean, 39 is a big number. Last year, Brock Purdy had just one game, 40, a game in which they were trailing the whole time, that surpassed the 39 that Mac Jones got. So it was a surprise, but it speaks to how much confidence the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, have in Mac Jones. And he played a lot of snaps, in the spring, in the summer. There was one day, Brock Purdy had to leave for the birth of his child. Mac Jones was the de facto number one quarterback that day. He also threw to a lot of the guys he was throwing to on Sunday. When you have all these injuries, you have your B team on the field, and that's who Mac Jones threw to this summer. He threw a lot of passes to Luke Farrell. Mm. He threw a lot of passes to Jake Tondres. He has a background with Kendrick Bourne from New England. So in a way, it kind of worked out. Obviously not an ideal scenario to have all these injuries, but there was definitely a cohesion there that you might not expect with all those backups in the game.
Matt Barrows joining us on 95.7 The Game, writes for The Athletic, covers the San Francisco 49ers. Are the 49ers optimistic about Christian McCaffrey's start to the season?
I think they are. I think you can definitely see them putting Brian Robinson, his backup, in more than maybe McCaffrey's backup in 2023. So they're cautious with it, but I mean, just from watching him run, and I think that there was, from both of those guys, McCaffrey and Robinson, a noticeable improvement from week one to week two. They're just running better. And then you expect that from just about every running back in this league. But my point being that physically, I don't think that there's anything wrong with Christian McCaffrey. Not that you can tell. I do think maybe with the turf, maybe with the calf injury he experienced just before the Seahawks game, they're being more cautious than normal. But I think that the more Robinson plays, the more he's going to pick up this offense, and the more comfortable the 49ers are going to be with pulling Christian McCaffrey out of the game, which was a big, not a big issue, but something that a number of fans noted back in 2023. Why is this guy still in the game in the fourth quarter? And something that probably played a role in his 2024 season. So I think that the first two games are a good baseline for what the rest of the season could look like for Christian McCaffrey.
Matt, the last time we talked, I was petrified about this defense, and a lot of youngsters were going to be a part of this defense, and they are, and two-year players. But you got Siegel, Stout, Michael Williams, Collins, and D. Winters popping. Why has the defense, to me, just it's been a godsend through two games, and what is Robert Saleh doing to maximize this new Niner defense that, quite honestly, Matt, to me, it's been shocking how good they've been.
Yeah, I think that the D-line is better than expected early on. And, you know, we concentrated, we as the media, on all the newcomers. Okay, how quickly can these newcomers, these rookies, acclimate to the defense? But really, they've been relying on guys like Jordan Elliott and Kalia Davis and Bryce Huff and Ettore Gross-Matos. I mean, Huff and Gross-Matos and Kalia Davis in particular, each of those guys had, you know, an explosive play on Sunday. So they're getting contributions from guys that maybe we weren't concentrating on back in August. And then these rookies are making progress. I mean, the jump that Michael Williams made from week one to week two was massive. And I think that Alfred Collins made a similar jump, you know, not nearly as prominent as Williams was on Sunday, but he was noticeable. And you couldn't have said that back in, you know, July and August. He was behind the curve and didn't do much in the preseason. Sunday's game, he looked hard to handle, especially when he's one-on-one with a guard. I mean, I think that's the 49ers' ideal scenario there, is that Alfred Collins gets matched up with a, you know, 6'2", 310-pound guard, and that's going to be over pretty quickly. You know, all the arrows up on that group, and I think each of them made a leap from week one to week two.
Matt Barrows joining us on 95.7 The Game, covers the San Francisco 49ers for The Athletic. Brock Purdy, obviously, he's got turf toe. What do you think this comes down to on Sunday? Is it a pain threshold issue for him? Is it a mobility issue? What do you think goes into whether or not he's going to play or not on Sunday?
I don't think the 49ers want this to be a chronic issue in 2025. So if they can get him 100% or close to it, and sort of put away the fear that this becomes a recurring thing for him, I think that's the way you go. I mean, we just talked about it, how good Mac Jones looked, how similar he looked to Brock Purdy. I think that gives the 49ers reassurance that, okay, we can continue to put Mac Jones in there until we're absolutely certain that this injury isn't going to be problematic. That's why I think it's probably going to be Jones on Sunday, just because if there's any shred of doubt about the toe at all, then the smart move is to sit your franchise quarterback.
Now, Matt, I know it's only two games, but a couple of years ago, you know, the Niners draft Ricky Pearsall, and I'm in the living room like, who? You know, I was unfamiliar with him. But, man, this dude's got 8 receptions, 164 yards, averaging 20 yards a pop. We saw week one big-time catches in crucial moments. I got to believe everybody, you know, in Niner Nation is excited what they're seeing from Ricky Pearsall. How sustainable is this? And is the kid just going to take this a couple steps higher?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the expectation. The future is, okay, what happens when you've got Brandon Ayuk at 100% and Ricky Pearsall on the field at the same time? Two similar wide receivers, two wide receivers that you would think would mesh very well with Brock Purdy. And so Pearsall is having to sort of be the Brandon Ayuk of this team while Brandon Ayuk is coming back from this ACL. And he's been doing a good job of it. I mean, that's a high standard. That's a big ask for somebody. But that 20.5 average that you just noted, I mean, that's higher than Ayuk's has been in the past. So he's making plays. He's making big plays. He's making the types of catches over the middle. I mean, that first one, I forget how deep it was, but that was a tough throw from Mac Jones and a tough catch, sliding catch in traffic from Ricky Pearsall, and he came up with it. That's exactly what you want to see from him. You know, the question is, if you have a critique of him, it's that the volume hasn't been huge, you maybe need a game where you're really feeding him the ball. But, you know, if Juwan Jennings is on the field, you don't necessarily have to have that. So far, so good. I thought going into the season that Ricky Pearsall would be sort of a big key to whether this team is successful right away. And he has been, and the 49ers have been. So I think it's thumbs up for him.
Matt Barrows joining us on 95.7 The Game. I was really kind of impressed, if that's the word, or taken aback a little bit by how emotional Fred Warner was after that game. I think it's like sometimes as fans, you know, we think, oh, the Niners are playing the Saints. The Saints aren't very good. They'll just go down there and they'll take care of the game, and it's a punch the clock game. It feels like Fred Warner is like, I don't know, galvanized or something. Like it feels like they're building something defensively behind Warner and Bosa. Am I reading that right? Or is Fred Warner still the same Fred Warner he's always been?
Well, he is, but he's healthy this year, which you couldn't say for the bulk of the 2024 season. And I think that there's just a belief that they're on the right track this year. I think that's absolutely related to Robert Saleh coming in, to a couple of moves that they made. I think the Bryce Huff addition is definitely been underplayed and is a big deal for this team. Huff plus Mykel Williams basically equals a Nick Bosa. So I feel like that defensive end position, which has been just adrift since Dee Ford left and, you know, basically left after the 2019 season, was never himself after that season. I just think that there's a lot to be happy about. And, you know, by the way, he also had probably the biggest game-changing play on Sunday when he punched that ball out from Alvin Kamara. So he had a lot to be happy about. And like I said, I feel like there's a sense that they're not stealing wins these first 2 weeks, but, you know, this was the dicey time for the 49ers. So if they can get W's during this dicey period, it's just gravy for them. So I think that accounts for some of the elation that you're seeing, that you're feeling with this team.
I don't want to diss former defensive coordinator Nick Sorensen, Matt, but the bottom line was Dee Winters was on this, you know, on the roster last year, and now he looks like a reincarnation of Dre Greenlaw, and I'm super duper shocked and excited to watch him play. But would it be fair, Matt, to, you know, if I was talking to Nick, like, why didn't you see what Robert Saleh is seeing in Dee Winters? Because this dude's been a godsend thus far.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that the 49ers last year really would have loved for Dee Winters to take over that spot from Devondre Campbell at the beginning of the season, and they tried that a couple of times, and Dee Winters just kept getting injured, and so it never really took. They saw flashes of the current Dee Winters that we're seeing last year, but like I said, every time he would take a step forward, it was two steps back because of an injury. So I don't think that that was Sorensen related. I think that was the plan last year. It didn't happen. Devondre Campbell, ironically, ended up playing more than what the 49ers probably had planned for him, which makes his exit all the more surprising. He didn't see it coming. But I agree with you. I mean, he has looked like the second coming of Dre Greenlaw, just aggressive and fast and impactful. And nobody gets away from him either. He's so fast. You pair that with confidence and knowledge of the defense, which he has now that he's in his third year. And, you know, the results are what you're seeing on Sundays.
Does it feel like Shanahan's a little less stressed out this year than he maybe has been the last two or three years? Or is that just something that I'm reading into coming over the press conferences, et cetera?
No, that's something a lot of people have picked up on. I'm doing a mailbag right now, and that was one of the reader questions. And I think the answer is absolutely yes. I mean, last year, I wrote about this before the season began, that there was a weight on this team. They had just lost the Super Bowl. They basically had an all-star team assembled, and they had this very heavy responsibility to go back to the Super Bowl, and it just didn't happen. And so the season became more and more of an albatross around their necks, and you saw that in Kyle Shanahan. This year, coming off a 6-win season, they've got a roster that's full of rookies. They have a fourth-place schedule. They don't have a lot of primetime games, and so expectations are lower. It's just, I don't know, there's a lightness about it that certainly wasn't here last year.
Maddie, thank you so much for joining us. As always, really appreciate it, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
All right, anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. That's Matt Barrows of The Athletic talking about the 49ers. And, he thinks Kyle's maybe a little looser this year than he's been.
But you've noticed that, huh? I can't say that I have, but especially with Jake Moody for 1 week, but even the preseason. But that's interesting, Don. I hadn't noticed that.
Yeah, I think he's been, I don't know, like a little bit, a little more give and take. Mm. Like, it just doesn't feel like Matt used the word weight. Yeah, it doesn't feel like he's got the weight on his shoulders that he maybe has had in the past, or that he felt like he has had in the past.
Do you think that comes with what you mentioned earlier? I kind of disagree with you with the expectations, because I think they're there. You know, forget Vegas, but what, seventh or eighth, you know, team to win a Super Bowl and picked over the Rams to win the division, even with all the change.
I think the expectations have changed for this team. We should ask 49er fans that. I mean, I think that's the one part that, I mean, I don't know how you could go into this season with the same expectations you had in each of the last three seasons, considering the roster's so different. But, I mean, maybe there's a lot of 49er fans out there that do have Super Bowl expectations for this team, and maybe that's why they're not altogether satisfied, even though you're 2-0 and you've won two games on the road. I can just tell you the way I look at this season for the San Francisco 49ers, and what happened over the last three seasons doesn't matter at all. I don't think this is a Super Bowl team this year. Could they end up being one? Yeah, it's possible, sure. But I don't think they are at this point.
And you asked him about the McCaffrey. So you plant your flags, Donnie, on you think it was by design that he got 19 carries and 12 less than week one?
I'm not sure to tell you the truth.
I mean, but 39 pass attempts from the quarterback, you're going to that you get two things. Hopefully not interceptions, which you didn't get. And obviously, you know, if you're throwing the ball, that's less wear and tear on McCaffrey. But, you know, the caller a couple hours ago alluded to did somebody get in Kyle's ear and gave Kyle credit for if somebody did, he listened. But I'm just wondering, will that be a trend moving forward? Like, now I really believe Arizona's better than Seattle, to me, Stani, and New Orleans. But, man, if somehow Brock Purdy can't go and Mac Jones is back there, if this is the formula to have him throw almost 40 times and keep McCaffrey under 20 touches, I mean, that's a win in itself again.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I think that Shanahan will use Christian McCaffrey as much as he thinks he has to use him in order to win a game. And I think maybe he felt like against the Saints, Mac Jones was effective putting the ball in the air. So as long as he was effective and not turning it over and making safe passes, that they could maybe go away from Christian McCaffrey just a little bit more than normal, or at least more get away from him more than they did in week one. Hey, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's about $250 a month. All you have to do is visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Matt Barrows joining us at 12 o'clock and
good stuff.
And talking about the San Francisco 49ers. And he seemed to be leaning toward Mac Jones getting the start Sunday.
Yeah. And, Stein, if I were in control, shout out Janet Jackson, and it were up to me, after what I saw Mac Jones and my offense do as a collective, I just got to slow play this thing and give Brock as much time as needed. But, man, this may be a storyline. Even when Brock does come back, Stani, guess what's going to happen? He's going to get hit. He's going to be under piles at different times. And listening to Lowe and Baldy this morning, this seems like the type of injury, I know there's different degrees of it or grades, that could follow him the whole season. And you hope that's not the case.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, I don't know anything about this injury. I don't know that if you, you know, it sounds to me like if you give it time to heal now, it'll be better over the course of the season.
Lowe said his kept up with him the whole year. Now, he was different running back, fullback, but.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's a pain tolerance issue for Purdy or whether it's a mobility issue for Brock Purdy, but.
The fact that it kept him out is why I'm on a little more on the serious side. Like, we don't know the degree, you're right, but we do know there was a degree to where he couldn't play.
Exactly. 888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers, they open their home schedule on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray and Arizona comes in here. They're 2-0.
Yeah.
And so this will be for you know, the division shaping up as one that's going to be very competitive. So the 49ers absolutely do want to go better than 1-5 in the division this year, which is what they went last year.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people want to say, Goo, put that in the toilet, just flush last year. But I still, that's one of the most disheartening losses was to your division foe, Arizona, the way that game happened. The fumble, they drive down, then Seattle did it way later on in the season. But, man, you want to pay that back. But could you imagine, again, Stani, I know it's a marathon, but if we come back here Monday and they're 3-0, and surpassed their win total in the division last year with what they've dealt with, because there's definitely been some turbulence just from an injury standpoint. But, man, you got to like what you're seeing from Saleh, and you got to like what you're seeing from Ricky Pearsall. Now, he did say something about Pearsall real quick, Stani. You know, he's been hot, but he ain't getting a bunt. The ball's not just going to him all the time. You know what I mean? So maybe that's the next evolution of it.
I mean, you know, if he's averaging over 20 yards a carry, catch. So, you know, he starts,
you know,
catching eight
balls
a game. Yeah, he's going to lead the league in receiving yards then probably. 888-957-9570 is the number. On the other side, we got some other things going on in the sports world, Goo, that we can jump into. The San Francisco Giants
had a debut.
They're wrapping up their season. Two weeks left, and they're hanging on barely.
And basketball's back.
Also, we got a little bit of Jonathan Kuminga news to pass along, and you can tell me what you make of it. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. That segment also brought to you by Moderna.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not in this one.
Oh. Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You are in this one, Steiny.
All righty. Welcome back. Thanks to Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Joined us about a half hour ago talking about the Niners, the 2-0 San Francisco 49ers. Three-way tie for first place in the NFC West.
Speaking of 2-0, you're 2-0 in our fantasy league. I saw you, buddy. Congrats.
Yeah.
Evan 0-2. I'm 1-1. My fatty.
I'm a little trouble with my earphones. Hang in there.
Right. I got you.
Let me get to Mike and Gilroy real quick. Okay, there we go. I got it fixed. Mike and Gilroy. Hey, buddy.
I just want to do a little quote on that movie Moneyball, right? When he sits there in the scouts and tells him no one's asking the right question. So after watching last night's game, that Tampa Bay Houston game, those are my kind of games. I love solid defense.
Mm.
And you have Robert Saleh right now. You have to pay him whatever it takes to keep him for 4 or 5 years and get back to that point where we were a few years ago with Robert Saleh. And then we're in every game for 17 weeks, right? I mean – that's the way it's got to be. And as far as Brock Purdy goes, I mean, I get it. It's football's a rough sport. Everyone's hurt, right? And there's a difference between hurt and injured, like you say. But if he can push off and throw the rock like he normally does, then he can play, even if he's only 90% limited mobility. You got to play hurt in the NFL and in college. You got to play. That's what I got for you guys. What do you think?
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call.
Great game last night. You was talking about Houston and Tampa Bay, Stoney. It was physical.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that what I've observed with Robert Saleh is everybody trusts him, from Jed York to Kyle Shanahan to John Lynch to the fans to the media. There seems to just be an understanding that Robert Saleh is about as good as it gets at defensive coordinator, and I do think that goes a long way. I mean, Kyle Shanahan over the last couple of years has talked about defensive coordinators, whether it was Sorensen or whether it was Wilkes. I don't get the sense that he involves himself at all, or certainly not to the degree that he did with Robert, with the other guys that he does with Robert Saleh.
I'll say this. I feel like Robert Saleh is to defense what Kyle is to offense.
Yeah, although I almost get...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The sense that 49er fans have more confidence in Saleh as a defensive coordinator than Kyle as an offensive coordinator. But I think that's mostly a function of fans have gotten used to Kyle Shanahan. He's been here 8 years, and now Saleh's back to back here for 1 year after, you know, he did a great job with the defense prior.
I'll say this because I feel it, you know. Stoney, I just feel like all assistant coaches, their goal is to become a head coach. And Robert Saleh, like D'Amico Ryans, did that. And the situation got toxic in New York, and, you know, he lost his job. But I know we're only two games in. But if this Niner defense keeps growing and keeps that physicality, and let's just say when it's all said and done, forget where the Niners finish. They make the playoffs, and this defense was a staple of what this team is about. I mean, who's to say he's not Calipari again, one and done? Because he got whatever happened in New York, whatever. I get it, the Aaron Rodgers. But if he can bring these youngsters and get them balling throughout the whole season, my point is, Stein, he's going to get another opportunity at a coaching job. Then it comes down to, do you want to stay as an assistant? And I just think guys like that, I know he's probably staying up at night like, I got a raw deal. You know, if that opportunity came around again, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I understand.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably get another opportunity if the defense is good here.
Yeah.
Whether it's at the end of this year, I don't know, or, you know, down the line. But I just know that right now, the veterans on defense seem to be crazy about playing for Robert Saleh again, which is half the battle. Let's go to Philmo Mike.
Mike.
Hey, Philmo, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
Hanging
doing
in,
well,
Mike.
Man.
That's what's up. I enjoy hearing you back, Guru. You know, it's nothing like you. You're an awesome orator.
Hey, man, awesome I love orator. You for that.
But I just wanted to, yes, sir. I just wanted to say, George Kittle got this thing called linebacker. What is it called? Tight end university?
Yep.
Right? Okay. Fred Warner need a linebacker university.
That's
seriously.
Great.
Seriously. And then if y'all could answer me this, is he better than – I texted Shasky and Bonte last night. I asked him, is he better – and I never thought I'd say this. Is he better than Patrick Willis? Like, you guys are some real football aficionados, Guru, Steiny. You've been watching football for 75 years. Is he better than Patrick Willis?
I'm going to say this to that.
I don't know. They're both pretty darn good.
Well, one's in the Hall of Fame. So how about I say this, Mike, and I'm not copping out. Fred's on that same track. How about that?
That's a great answer. Because I thought when I was watching P. Willis, I thought I was watching, like, you know, Ray Lewis Jr. So, I mean, I don't know. Fred Warner, he's playing at a hell of a level. And I do agree with you, Steiny. Robert Saleh is just the man when it, like, he's just, they just respect him. But I don't think they don't just, you know, sometimes, like, when you got the side guy, like, they respect Shanahan. But, man, he gets Robert Saleh, he gets it from, I think he gets it from like the players all the way down, you know, to the owner, like you said, to the people that's like doing security. He just has that type of, and that's just a credit to him. I don't want to ramble, but man, Robert Saleh, man, I agree, man. It's something about the way he just does his things and goes about his business, and he's very knowledgeable. And he kind of like, it seems like he puts his players in a position to win at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. I thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. I also think that for whatever reason, that Robert Saleh, from the moment he walked in this year, the veterans, Bosa, Warner, Dominic Lenore, or Diamador Lenore, yeah. I mean, they clearly respect him. They clearly think that he's the best defensive coordinator they've played for. And when your veterans show that type of respect to somebody like Robert Saleh, and you're sitting with a bunch of young players, well, then they're going to have to fall in line too. So I just think kind of the way it's worked out these first 2 weeks, I feel like the veterans are totally bought into Robert Saleh. And if the veterans are bought in, then the young guys better come along for the ride.
Yeah, I'm from Film on Mike to even bring that up, that's just the ultimate compliment to Fred Warner, who's still playing, Stoney. But I think old school Kina Turner, Navarro Bowman, but Fred is ahead of those guys. But I'm just saying, Fred right now, the two games in the balance, had the wherewithal to go punch the ball out. And then the one just this past Sunday on a guy that was having a damn good game in Kamara Stoney, who's bent up like a pretzel. And I'm just thinking to myself, some other linebackers would have been like, oh, he's down. And 54 just comes like, nah, he ain't down in my eyes, knocks it out. Now, to that point, I do want to say this. I don't like how Bosa does his business sometimes in regard to his podium game. And I thought, and I was insulted, that he threw Wilkes under the bus more than a few times. That, you know, we knew what we were doing on the front end, but the back end, I don't know what we're doing. But when you put that aside, maybe Bosa was really crying out that he missed a guy like Robert Saleh, Stoney. You know, even though I didn't like it, he was crying out that I missed that. And now he's back, and thus far, man, the Niner defense, they're no punks. They're not soft at all.
Hey, this Sunday, your tailgate destination is Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale. Our pregame show starts at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings. We're going to have games in the parking lot, great food and drinks, and your place to watch all the early games as well. If you're going to the 49er game, come on by before you go to the stadium and join us for a pregame party, and then take the shuttle back and forth for just $25. Go to 957thegame.com and click on the kickoff show link to get your spot on the shuttle right now. Laughing Monk Brewing, 1235 Oakmead Parkway, right near the stadium. That's where we'll all be. See you there. That segment was brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.